Good morning, church. I tell you what, our biblical community emphasis, we call it BC 24 here at First Hurst, it is continuing this summer. In fact, for the next 8 weeks, we are going to learn from the most substantial example of community that we have in the Old Testament, and that is, of course, the people of Israel. This series, the Community Chronicles, we're calling it, as you see, it's going to be a very general, fast-paced overview of Israel's Old Testament history in 8 weeks, okay? But it is going to give us several opportunities to highlight how God called and led and blessed and corrected and judged and used this biblical community to, one, make his name known, and secondly, to set the stage for the Messiah's arrival. It's appropriate that this morning on Father's Day we will spend our time overviewing what's called the time of the patriarchs, the fathers, that part of Old Testament history. And for that we will be in Genesis chapter 12. I'd encourage you to go ahead and turn there. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis is the first book in your Bible, and if you just open there and get to the 12th chapter, you're going to be set, and then we'll look at some other passages in Genesis a little later as well. On this Father's Day, we're going to touch on the way that faith in the Lord and His promises was handed down from fathers to their children. Because a lot like God chose to use the whole people of Israel, He has placed a similar responsibility upon fathers to likewise make His name known. Let me just drop this out there for you, dads. You should be telling your children about the Lord. You should be passing on an authentic faith in God. You are called as a father to give your children the most vivid image they will perceive in this life of our Heavenly Father. Love them and lead them like the Father loves them. Encourage and support them like God does. Direct them and discipline them in love as God does us, and be to them an example of who God is. Make His name known to them. And if we'll do that, dads, as we make His name and His character and His love known to our kids, we will also set the stage for the Messiah in their lives. We can, and indeed we must, point our children to Jesus. We show them our dependence upon Him, and we live like Jesus so that they'll see in us godly character and love and grace, and we aim them like arrows toward the Savior so that they too may trust Him and live like Him. Happy Father's Day. All right, there you go, dads. That's my sermon to you this morning. All right, Genesis chapter number 12. Is our text for this morning. And as we look there, notice in verse number 1, he says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," Abram's name would later be changed to Abraham, "the Lord said to him, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So here in these few verses, we have God's call to Abraham, and we read it as a call to an individual. But as we'll find this morning, it was actually more of a communal call. This call and promise to Abraham, understand, it does not translate to us one for one. What I mean is we cannot just appropriate for ourselves all the promises that God made to Abraham. He made them to Abraham, not directly to us. But we can certainly draw some parallels today as we consider these three verses, parallels between God's promise to Abraham and His promises to us. First, we take note of what God's promises include this morning. What God's promises include. Now, we obviously cannot do an exhaustive study of that in the time that we have this morning, but we will consider just three components that are seen very clearly in just these three verses of Genesis chapter 12. And the first of those is God's promises include a call to change. A call to change. We see it in verse number 1 where God said to Abraham, "Go from your country, go from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Now, that's a big change that God was calling Abraham to. I mean, moving to a new town, a new state even, or sometimes people even move to a new country, right? That is a big, complicated deal still today, but it's not all that uncommon. People are moving all the time. There's an entire industry built around relocation services. But man, in ancient times, it didn't happen like that. Like, you didn't just up and move on a whim, you know, to an unfamiliar land, you know, at the drop of a hat. You stayed home. Most people were born and lived and died in the same small geographic area. But God calls Abraham here to just uproot from everything that was familiar, leave behind the places and the people that you've known your whole life, and just go. He didn't even tell Abraham where to go. He just said, go to the land that I will show you. Like, in the future tense, I will show you. I'll let you know when you get there. I kind of wonder, was this like, Abraham's like, okay, I guess we'll go this way. Colder, colder, colder. Oh, okay, I'm gonna turn around and warmer, warmer. Yeah, probably didn't quite go down just like that, all right, but Abraham, he wasn't told where he was supposed to go. God just said, get up and go. I understand that kind of unscripted, free-form living, you know, that's a really exciting and invigorating thing to a certain breed of folks. I am not that breed of folks, all right? I will tell you that right now. I like a plan. I want to know what the plan is and what the timeline looks like and where I'm going to be everywhere along that plan and that timeline. You see, Abraham, though, he was called to radical change in his life, much like the gospel. It's a call to significant change in your life. The gospel absolutely transforms hearts as people recognize their sin, repent of that sin, and trust in the saving grace of Jesus who died in their place to rescue them from sin. Boy, it just transforms a person's heart. But the gospel is also a call to reorient your whole life around the Word of God and serving Him and doing ministry. It's a call to some major change. That change is affected by the Holy Spirit of God. We see it all over the New Testament, how new life in Christ, being born again, points us to change. Paul writes often using the imagery of putting off the old self and putting on the new. He speaks of our salvation as becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's change that he's talking about. In fact, when Jesus called his disciples to follow him, he was calling them to a radically changed life. God calls us to this mysterious, unknown newness in life that's not so far removed from the calling of Abraham. So we see a call to change. God's promises also include a commitment to provide. That's in verses 2 and 3 we see that. A commitment to provide. Remember, God said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and I will bless those who bless you. God committed to provide for Abraham in abundant ways, far beyond even his needs. There was a commitment of grace from the Lord that he would extend to Abraham, not because of anything Abraham had done to earn or deserve that. It was just God's grace to him. And such is God's commitment to us as his followers, not because of anything we've done to earn or deserve it, but he just has chosen to bless us simply as an act of abundant, amazing grace. He's committed to provide for us. His promise to bless us is undeserved. But remember, that promise of blessing doesn't necessarily mean material blessings and wealth. You can read all through God's Word, and you're never going to find a promise that if you just follow Jesus, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I mean, we want that promise to be there, but it's not. You don't find that in Scripture. And yet God still blesses us with his unmerited favor in abundant portions. And so this promise, these promises from God includes a call to change, a commitment to provide, and then a charge to bless. Abraham was charged. God said there in verse 2, I'm doing this so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Get a hold of this morning, that God's grace to Abraham was not about the Lord playing favorites and pouring out blessings on one to the exclusion of everyone else. Rather, his grace to Abraham was God's sovereign action to establish a channel of blessing for the whole world. And similarly, God's grace to us, it's not a game of favorites. Therefore, His grace to us is not something that we should hoard selfishly unto ourselves, but rather we, like Abraham, should be a blessing. We should share the blessing of grace with others. Like Abraham, we are likewise charged to bless, and we do it in Jesus' name. And so just as they did for Abraham, so God's promises to us as believers in Christ include this call to change and a commitment to provide and a charge to bless, and that's mini sermon number one for this morning, all right? You hang on to that for now, and we're going to come back to it in just a little bit. But next, we need to understand that, secondly, God's plan compels community. God's plan compels community. God's call to Abraham launched him into this monumental change in his life, but it didn't stop with Abraham. In fact, if we look over just a couple pages to Genesis chapter number 17, here, God is speaking to Abraham once again. And notice what he says in verse number 7. He said, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." The Lord is just pouring it out upon Abraham that this isn't just for you. This is for your offspring as well. Well, it was the beginnings of a whole community as God was looping others into His promises. We look a little further in Genesis to chapter number 26, and there we find that Abraham's offspring, Isaac, his son, is now hearing from the Lord. In chapter 26, verse number 3, it said, God said to Isaac, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." I mean, and he just keeps on going about how the blessings of Abraham were extending now to Isaac. God said, "I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give to you and to your offspring, and in you and your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." There's this charge to bless again. The community is slowly growing. We come over a couple more chapters to chapter 28, and there we find that now Isaac, in turn, as a father, is extending blessing to his son, Jacob, whose name would be changed to Israel. In chapter 28, verse number 3, he said, "God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples." We'll come back to that phrase, a company of peoples. "May He give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham." And so here again, it goes on, and the Lord is just extending now from Abraham to his son Isaac to his son Jacob these blessings and these promises. And hey, dads, before we move on, don't miss this great example of how we can pray for our children and speak blessings over them. Isaac said to Jacob, "May God Almighty, El Shaddai, may He bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. May He give you the blessing of Abraham." That is the same promise of blessings He gave to my father, to Abraham, and to me. But as we move on, notice that as part of that blessing, how verse number 3 concludes, he said that you may become a company of peoples. A company of peoples. And that particular wording is important. In the Hebrew, the Hebrew word is kahel. Kahel. It's a word that means a congregation, an assembled multitude. In other words, a community of peoples. In fact, in the Septuagint, that is the oldest trusted Greek translation of the Old Testament. So it was originally written in Hebrew, translated into Greek in, I think, about the 3rd century B.C. For the Greek-speaking world. And the wording in Genesis 28 of the Septuagint says, instead of a company of peoples, it says ekklesia. a word that we see throughout the New Testament. Ecclesia is the word that's translated church. Many of us know the Spanish word for church, iglesia. And you can see how you get from ecclesia, the root word, to iglesia in Spanish. And so it means church. And again, it's a congregation, an assembled multitude. It's biblical community, which finds its expression today as the congregation, the assembled multitude that we call church. And so as we follow this bouncing ball through Genesis, thank you for taking that ride with me, what it leads us to is this, that God's plan for his people that he first promised to Abraham, it compels us to be in community with others, with a company of peoples, a kahal, an ecclesia. As the blessing of Abraham passed from one patriarch to the next and then to the next, God was pointing them toward community. We can say today that we are part of a communal call from the Lord, because we who follow Christ as the people of God are compelled to be in community with other believers. And that is mini sermon number 2 this morning, all right? Keep that in your back pocket. As we next go back to Genesis 12 and notice next that God's purpose is to bless. Y'all still with me? All right? It's all going to come together here in just a little bit. God's purpose is to bless. God's calling to Abraham and Israel's calling as a people of faith was to be a blessing to the world. Remember what God said? I'm doing this, Abraham, so that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham was charged to bless others, as you'll recall, because God's purpose is to bless. And indeed, the people of Israel, they have brought innovations and blessings to the world. And as we look at the ancient people of Israel, most notably, he used them to bring to the world worship of the one true God. He used them to bring to the world the Word of God. You realize all the canonical books of the Bible that we have were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Jewish authors, the only exceptions being Luke and Acts, both of those written by Luke, but with Jewish apostolic backing. God used his people to bring also the synagogue to the world. This is the place where Jews met to read the Word of God and to pray and to talk about what God's Word means. Does that sound a little bit familiar to anything that you know? Right? And the earliest believers, of course, were Jews. And so this cultural experience they knew of the synagogue very naturally translated and dovetailed into the local church community. And then, of course, God used his people to bring the Messiah to the world. I mean, Jesus lived upon this earth as a Jew. He lived in Jewish community under Jewish law in a Jewish family. And so just in these four things right here, we see how God used his ancient people to be a blessing to the world. And God's purpose for his people today, redeemed believers in Jesus, that purpose continues to be that we would bless the world. And we're still bringing these blessings to the world today. We bring worship of the one true God, and we bring to the world the Word of God, and we bring the church and the welcoming community of faith that we call the church. And of course, we're to bring Jesus, the Messiah, to the world as we share our faith and the hope that we have in the gospel. So this morning we started with Abraham. But let's fast forward from Abraham about 400 years or so. The people of Israel were fresh out of Egypt, okay, and they're at the base of Mount Sinai. God's about to give to them the law of Moses, as it's called, starting with the Ten Commandments. And there are about 2 million or so people strong, like a company of peoples by this time. And God there at the base of Mount Sinai declared his purpose for his people. In Exodus 19, verse 6, he said, you. He wasn't talking to an individual. He was talking to the whole community, the people of Israel, Abraham's offspring. He said, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, why would he call them that, a kingdom of priests? Like, there were some priests in ancient Israel among the people there for sure, but only from the tribe of Levi. And even that is more narrow, only the descendants of Aaron. And so why would he call the whole nation a people of priests? Well, we have to think about what priests' function was, what their role was in the society. God very soon would choose to dwell, bring his presence. He would choose to dwell in the tabernacle. But it was deep within the tabernacle where he would reside, as he put it. And it was in the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, where the people simply could not go to be in God's presence. They were barred from it. And so the Levitical priests served as those who would mediate or bring, if you will, God's presence to the people, among the people. Think about that imagery of what the priest did. And when God refers to all the people, his people, as a nation of holy priests, so to speak, it's because the whole community of God's people were to mediate and bring God's presence to the people and the nations around them. His purpose for them was that they would bless the world by bringing God to the world. Okay, I know we're getting a little cerebral here. Stay with me. Keep that in mind as we consider how Peter then writes about a parallel calling for Christians. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said, But you, the community of believers in Jesus, you are a chosen race, a royal, what's that word? Priesthood. You are a holy nation, just like he said to Israel. A people for his own possession. All of those terms mirror God's purpose for Israel, but now we see them being applied by Peter to Christians. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, much like Israel of old, we are to bring God to the people and the nations around us. Much like his communal call for Israel, God's purpose for us is to bless the world by bringing God to the world. And on this Father's Day, let me just remind you again, dads, don't abdicate this responsibility within your own home to bring God, his presence, into your community at home. This is all part of a thread that runs through the Old Testament, sometimes referred to as the recognition formula. The recognition formula. It refers to this truth that God is about his own glory being made manifest. He's about his people declaring his glory, making his name known so that people will recognize that he is the Lord alone. It's the recognition formula. If we go back a few chapters to Exodus chapter number 9, we would see the recognition formula in practice. There God would speak to the oppressive Pharaoh through Moses. It was during the time of the plagues upon Egypt. And God said to him in Exodus 9 verse 16, "For this purpose I have raised you up, Pharaoh, to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." That's the recognition formula, so that God would be recognized, his name proclaimed in all the earth. Well, how would that happen? Through the people of Israel, whom God was rescuing from Egyptian bondage. In fact, from Exodus all the way to Ezekiel, in that lengthy part of the Old Testament, 88 different times we find this exact phrase, in the ESV at least, "Know that I am the Lord." It's the recognition formula. Sometimes it says, "And you will know that I am the Lord." Or sometimes it says that they will know that I am the Lord. Or so that the nations will know that I am the Lord. Or as Isaiah 49:26 says, "All flesh shall know that I am the Lord, your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." You see, God is about all people knowing that he alone is the Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. And so one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will be recognized as Lord and Savior to the glory of God the Father. It is our communal call to work and cooperate together in the power of the Holy Spirit to bless our neighborhoods and our world by making him known. Or as Peter put it, by proclaiming the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's purpose for us is to bless others as we make him known. And that is mini sermon number 3. All right, now, and show you how all this kind of works together as we look quickly at a kind of a case study in conclusion this morning. And we're going to observe just one element of how we bless the world by bringing God to the world. And we'll look at this through the lens of our generous giving. Now, we have here at First Hurst, as you know, a thriving and growing ministry to preschoolers. Okay? Just looking at preschoolers. And we have that largely because of your generous financial gifts. You realize that ministry does not just happen. There's curriculum to be selected and purchased, and there's craft supplies and snacks and parent resources and software and electronics for our check-in systems and furniture that goes in classrooms and toys and cleaning and background checks and training resources and church staff whom we pay to lead these ministries. It takes all of that and more to provide quality ministry, and that's just a small snapshot of preschool. And all of that costs money. And so we all, as a people, as a community, we've been blessed, and we give generously to bless others, in this case, for instance, our preschool families. And you see, that generous gift that you're going to give today, it not only helps to build foundations of faith in preschoolers down the hall, but it literally helps to make God's name known in all the earth, His grace and His glory and His love. As a matter of fact, just this past Tuesday in Indianapolis, the SBC's International Mission Board commissioned 83 new missionaries who were answering God's call to go to the ends of the earth. These folks sensed God's call to change, to reorient their lives around God's purposes, and so they're trusting God's commitment that He will provide for them, and they're going to the land that God has shown them. They're going to fulfill God's charge to bless others in the name of the Lord. They're going to serve among the nations to make known His holy name and His glory and His beautiful gospel. And our own biblical community of faith right here at First Hurst, our faithful generosity helps to fund those missionaries and their ministry. God's plan compels community, and this work of missions is very much a communal effort, and praise God, we get to participate in that. Amen? And you know what? I dare say that nearly all of those 83 newly commissioned missionaries began learning foundations of faith in a church preschool hallway somewhere. And they were able to begin learning about who God is and our call to make Him known, because a community of generous believers gave so that there would be snacks and curriculum and coloring sheets and all those things that are necessary. And some generous saints of the Lord made sacrifices 20 years ago because they know that God's purpose is to bless. And those checks they wrote 2 decades ago are bearing fruit today, as those tiny missionaries from the preschool hall are now grown and going to dark places of this world to teach and to proclaim those same foundational truths of who God is and how He loves. And they'll proclaim that among those who have never heard the name of Jesus. They're going to proclaim the excellencies of Him who is calling people out of darkness into His marvelous light. They're going because they want the world to know and recognize that He is the Lord. And they're going because they sense that communal call, the same call that was issued to Abraham back in Genesis 12, the same call that still captivates our hearts today, so that you will be a blessing. How are you? How am I? How are we collectively as a community being a blessing today? So that the world will know that He is the Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. This is our communal call. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much this morning for the people who've gone before us, who sense that communal call to make Your name known, to speak and to tell of Your great glory, to bring knowledge of God to the world around them. Like Abraham passed on faith in you and knowledge of you to his children. And Isaac passed it on to his children. And Jacob passed it on to his. God, that calling has passed on to us to be a blessing. And I thank you for those who have answered that call before us so that we could know that you are the Lord, our Redeemer, the Mighty One. God, would you help us, your people today, to continue to be a blessing and to pass on what you've given to us, how we know who you are, the Mighty One, our Savior. And Father, in the moments that are before us, would you convict us as your people where we need to make a change? And maybe that change is, I need to be a blessing to others. I need to start loving others well, like my neighbors. Or maybe it's a dad who would say, I've abdicated that responsibility to pass on faith to my kids, but I want to take up that mantle and I want to be the dad that I'm supposed to be. Maybe it's one that you would convict today who would say, I need to be giving generously that the world may know of Jesus. God, however you would choose to convict and bring about change in each of us, mold us and shape us into your image today. Spirit of God, we give you freedom in this place, like you need us to give you that, but we invite you to come and apply your word in our hearts and be glorified. We pray all this in your holy name today. Amen.